Welcome and thank you for clicking play. This is episode 309 of the one and only IT and the D show.
We're at Bob's Wrong plus 293.
Great week last week talking to Steve Gore, talking about the talent shortage in town. So I thought it'd be a great idea to bring in a couple people to help with that. We got Tim Barron in the house. He's from Schoolcraft College. He's going to be talking about all the great programs they have in filling the talent needs. Also got Peter in the house from Grand Circus. Been in here many times before in the past talking about their software coding boot camps. But hey, John Riminelli, founder and CEO of Airspace Experience Technologies, says in Michigan, revolution is in the air. Find out what Planet M is doing to help businesses make that possible at planetm.com. That's planetm.com. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey guys, it's Time Hawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beat off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier. Storm. Storm. Come here, Storm. Sit up my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the $1 Million Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the $1 Million Man.
This is the ladies man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. What the hell is that?
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the Nooch. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show.
It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT and the D.
Skeptical Dave is skeptical.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
We'll be right back. welcome back. Thank you for clicking play. This is the one and only IT and the D Show, all the way up to episode 309, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy. That is Dave, the geek. Randy, our vice president of social media and social outreach. How did that go? Social media and community outreach.
That's sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. Is doing the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, where you will find all the things.
Speaking of which, so we've got the Ann Arbor event tomorrow night.
Yep, we'll be at Pretzel Bell downstairs at the bar.
That has pretzels and
good
bells.
Pretzels, loud bell.
And it's a super cool place.
And then we've got a free podcast day on Saturday. And then we've got our event, the Metro Detroit event, next Thursday that I'm pretty sure is going to be at Batch Brewing. But we'll announce that for sure probably, I don't know, tomorrow. Just to be
hopefully
safe.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So in random cool news, we had another show go live in our video studio today. And that was kind of sweet. I mean, it was the M Squared Tech Cast guys. It was kind of neat.
Yeah, except, you know, faces for radio. So, I mean, you know.
Well, that's why we're not there.
Yeah, exactly. Video. Now I'm good. I'm good sitting right here. By the way, I'm still mad at Comcast, but I'm also not mad at Comcast. I'm mad at Dish because they dropped like Fox Sports and actual HBO. And so the I said begun the cable wars have.
That's right, begun the cable wars have.
And it is happening right before our eyes.
I haven't looked to see if this is a thing yet or not. I was going to try to catch one show on BBC America, and I got that same screen on Comcast.
Oh, see, I don't watch anything on there.
See, that'll make me mad, but I haven't looked to see if that's a thing. But, yeah, they need to knock that nonsense off.
Well, not only that, we kind of hinted at. Like, we got HBO Go, which lets you watch all the crap on HBO Go.
I was
going to
say, and it's going to get even worse now.
And I'm paying for HBO. Now there's HBO Max, which
right.
is premium.
Well, so if you've got
channel.
HBO, then you get HBO Go. But now Time Warner has this whole new HBO Max thing, which is why they're charging people for Cinemax more, and so Comcast drops Cinemax. And now they've announced they're doing a new, really high-budget, very cool historical series that will go directly to HBO Max, which is not automatically available to HBO Go and HBO subscribers.
Can I watch HBO Max via HBO Now?
What's HBO Now?
What's that?
HBO Now is the non-cable subscription to HBO. So if you just want HBO without a cable subscription?
I would say no, because my assumption is that's just the parallel to HBO Go.
Is it an upgrade in the app you can do?
I don't know. But it's just like if like you can't even figure shit like this out internally, how are we, the consumers, supposed to keep any of this nonsense straight?
You know, it's
one
of those.
I just want to watch what I want to watch.
No, it's one of those things. What we were talking about, like we're getting to the point where we're getting what we asked for. And that's the culmination of this whole entire argument. We are getting our a la carte TV. And guess what? We're going to pay out the asshole for it.
Okay.
And you know it.
But I want – okay.
We all know where that's where it's moving
towards.
It's
the law of unintended consequences. I wanted a la carte TV, but I wanted to be able to tell Comcast I never watch a single thing on ESPN because we've had this talk a million times. ESPN is the largest chunk of your Comcast bill when it comes to cable.
I believe they charge you for it now. It's itemized on your bill.
Okay, but I don't want
it. No, like sports package that it's yours. You can't opt out.
So then it's not a la carte.
Right. No, it's becoming that where you got to buy HBO separate, and then we got to buy all this other crap separate, and I got to buy Hulu, and now I got to buy YouTube TV,
happen.
And I got to
like
buy Slingbox, and I got to buy.
Well, I just started playing with Sling through the Roku.
Sling just dropped Fox Sports Detroit, so that was the whole point. I want my
and
local.
All of the Meredith local stations.
What are Meredith?
Meredith's a news company, oh. So like WNEM up in the Saginaw area.
No, but that's like Meredith. Everyone's beef with dropping cables. I want to watch like the Tigers and the Red Wings and stuff and Pistons once in a while. And it's like you lose that. So now you can't even on Sling get local sports. It's just – it's getting
– I give up. Is it really – and I know like we don't get political on it, but I'm just saying like so you've got – you know, Trump going through all this rhetoric and rhetoric and rhetoric and rhetoric, and then you've got like shootings happening, and you've got like ties to that, and then you've got, oh, well, now maybe we'll pass this, you know, I'm in favor of this gun legislation that we could tie to this immigration bill that you guys want. Like, so is it, are you inflaming to get what you want tied to something else that other people want? That's
been going on for the last 20 years of your life.
I know, but I just want simple. Dude, I just want to turn on the TV and be able to watch whatever the hell I want to watch. Like, which again is why the rise in piracy is happening again. We've talked about this before.
It's gotten overboard.
Because, I mean, you've got all these silos of content. Screw it. Give me, you know, a hacked Fire Stick. Give me, you know, Myth TV. Give me, you know, Pyre TV. Give me whatever. And let me just do what I want to do.
Oh, there's a few people that I know that have like that thing, that app, where you get not just this, you get like every country's everything.
Yeah.
And I always feel
Hydration.
Oh, come on, you blew it for him. But like I always like, and he's paying like $15 a month, and like I always felt dirty about doing it.
So the guy who wants to bitch about a $30 t-shirt.
No, he's the smart one. But it's gotten to the point where I always felt dirty about doing that stuff. No, I don't care. It's kind of like when Napster came out and I was tired of buying those $17.99 CDs at Harmony House.
I'm the one who always said, I don't feel guilty about it because the music industry lied to me. When the CD came out, they promised me that music would get cheaper because the CD was easier and it was longer lasting and yada, yada, yada. And no. Why? Because they spend $5 billion a year trying to convince me that I love Ariana Grande. I don't love Ariana Grande. I thought that was a Starbucks drink. I'm good. I don't need it.
But you're going to get it and you're going
to
like it.
No, because I'll just go back to pirating TV the way I used to like grab music. I don't care.
Speaking of stupid laws, and a proposed U.S. law would ban infinite scroll and auto-playing video. Now,
I'm not going to lie, I'm in favor of this law.
Except it doesn't apply to advertising, so ads can still autoplay.
That's all they would bought that. That's all that those videos were. Here's the thing. Anytime you'd get autoplay anything, what would you do? Back arrow.
Yep.
I'm out. I'm on my next adventure on the internet.
Or as soon as I, hey, click next to start the slideshow.
Nope. Back. Yeah. I'm out. On to my next adventure on the internet.
No, but that is the thing where, you know, hey, I click through to a story. And it's I got to scroll like 18 screens to get to the actual content of the story because ads and filler and fluff and yet it is. Nah, I'm okay with that.
Back, I'm on to my next.
Yeah.
But this is the Social Media Addiction Reduction Technology Act, or SMART Act. And it's designed to help stop people from becoming addicted to social media, spending too much time on social media.
They're addicted to getting the like. They're not addicted to the view.
The scroll. Well, yeah.
I mean –
they are kind of the
engrossing
scroll.
Scrolling is the endless scroll. You just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. It never runs out of content, so you never stop.
Rogan had a great take on it, and he was kind of talking about that. I don't know. God knows what episode it was because he does 4 hours a day.
Right.
But he was kind of getting into this whole, you know, back when the internet first started, you wanted to find something. You typed in what you wanted to see, and you saw it.
Yep.
Now you're going to 7 or 8 different sites where you have no idea what's coming up next, and you're just blindly scrolling through, hoping that one thing catches your eye where you stop and click like, and then mm-hmm. you keep going and don't care. Like, it's just this mindless drivel. Like, oh, that nice picture, I hit like, and then now I go to the next one. Right? It's literally, that's what I feel like. You know, and back then we were trying to like, hey, I want to read about this. I want to read about the fake moon landing. You know, and I want to but, you know, that's all social is now. Going in. Oh, and speaking of that, this is the dumbest thing. Just, I know you bought Instagram, Facebook, but now you're like, I want to change the name. Now it's.
This is a why. No,
like,
why?
Like, now it's going to be Instagram by Facebook. Like, it's a designer gene or
from
something.
Facebook.
It's from those by.
From Facebook.
Kiss my ass either
Same
way.
Same with WhatsApp. Now it's going to be WhatsApp from Facebook.
God, WhatsApp.
It's the condos at Kenny's house.
WhatsApp for the Europeans and the Indians. Like, no one else uses it. Who cares?
This could be an attempt to like stave off antitrust actions to make it clear that these are the same company.
I sure don't think it's going to help their marketing because a lot of people use it because they think it's not Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Saturn. Everybody bought a Saturn because they didn't realize it was a GM vehicle. Yeah.
Geo. Why was GM doing that, by the way? They're coming up with these weird off brands just to make it seem like it wasn't them.
Cloak and Dagger, just marketing.
I missed the Geo Tracker. That car was awesome. Am I the only one? So, like, 100 stories came out this week. We didn't really get into it much last week because of our ranting about TV. But the whole the Capital One thing,
yeah,
just finally.
Everyone knows what's in your wallet.
Yeah, but it basically this is all the stuff that it came out that they got. Basically got your this one's more than any other ones because most of the times they just got your identifying information. This one got credit scores, balances, zip, email, date of birth, self-reported income, payment history, fragments of transaction data, and SOCH numbers of 140,000 people and 80,000 bank account numbers.
Well, so the SOCH and bank numbers they backpedaled on and said, well, those were quote-unquote tokenized pieces of data.
I saw that.
And so the like what they got would be unusable to somebody outside of Capital One. Now, my question about that, though, is since this a breach occurred via an Amazon Web Services outlet, and the person that hacked the data and got the data was an Amazon or is a former Amazon Web Services employee, would they not necessarily have access to the keys to detokenize that data?
This has to be – oh, of course they got the key. They're a damn former engineer. That woman that got charged has to be one of the dumbest hackers I've ever seen on record. Like you are a former AWS engineer.
Mm-hmm.
You probably were working on
and you went in through a misconfigured firewall that you may or may not have misconfigured.
You left your IPs on the VPN client that you used. What else with the GitHub? Didn't she leave?
She had files on her GitHub attached to her real full name.
Oh, attached to her real full name.
Real full name, yeah.
Genius.
Right. I'm trying to think what else she had going. Oh, yeah, she left an online trail, including IP addresses linked to a VPN iPredator located in Cyprus.
Well, and they're saying she probably has more companies' data that they just haven't figured out who yet.
And she was posting to meet up in Slack.
Yeah. Well, and so – and the corollary to this, which I friggin' love, is now you've got the attorney general, Barr, who's coming out and demanding that software companies and tech companies put – they must engineer backdoors into encryption. So again, law of unintended consequences. If you put a backdoor in an encryption algorithm that makes it breakable,
it's not technically encrypted.
Do you think the FBI is the only people that will get access to that? Are you that dumb that you don't think that someone like this in an engineering position won't have access to those credentials, those keys, that backdoor for – look at Snapchat. You know, we talked about that whole thing, the God mode in Snapchat that was letting people pull, you know, email addresses and phone numbers and all that kind of stuff from like all the celebrities that use it because it was supposed to be there for law enforcement purposes. But basically every help desk, you know, every customer service help desk person at Snapchat had access to this tool. Duh.
We had a meeting about that today at work where, you know, we have elevated privilege accounts, right? And we had to sit there and go, well, this person's going to use it for good intention. Do you know that? Well, I kind of do. And those are the decisions.
You hope so.
You hope so because, like, what happens if somebody's requiring, you know, these kind of privileges and then they steal a bunch of crap and then they walk out the door? Like, you don't know. And that's the problem with putting these back doors in is, okay, Jimmy and Susie got the keys. And Susie's like, well, so gets pissed off one day and screw it, I'm going to work somewhere else. And walks out with it. What do you do? Do you then re-encrypt the back door? Or, you know, what do they have by that point, by the time they've left? Or why even architect it to begin with? Like, just again, it's the reason it's my lead paint conspiracy. That's why they can x-ray into the houses now without lead paint. Doesn't really hurt anybody. It's true. It's true.
You better be careful of those conspiracy theories, Bob. It's not one of the articles we talked about, but the FBI is now has now said that the conspiracy theorists can be charged as a hate group
because
and domestic terrorism.
You know why? Like 80% of the conspiracy theories that have been out over the last like 20 years have all come true. Like that's why they don't want you to know. Keep us dumb, Dave. Suppress us. Hate group. If I say the fake moon landing, come arrest me. I think it's funny. You know, like I guess it depends on how far you take it and what you do with it. You know, this whole hate group thing's getting out of hand anyway. Everybody,
you know, walking into a pizza place with an AK-47 right. might be a bit much. Yeah,
you don't believe in free healthcare? All that's hate speech. That's just getting stupid. You know, everybody. Oh, you don't believe me?
You know, actually, we didn't even talk about the debates were here in town last week. Did you watch it?
Worst debate format ever.
Oh yeah, 10 people up on stage at a time. I don't get it. I don't. Like, that wasn't a debate. No. I saw
videos of the crap going on outside on, like, Adams and Woodward. And I'm like, if I swear to God, if I see someone I know out there, I'm going to depend some publicly. Thank God I didn't. Because it was like, what do you want to do today, Jim? I don't know, Dave. I think I'm going to go down on Woodward and Adams and scream like one sentence over and over for 3 hours. Because that's what I want to do with my day.
That's where I am with my life.
So I'm going to because that'll get things accomplished, and my voice is going to be heard.
Right.
But it was packed. There's people everywhere.
Of course it was, Bob. Downtown was nuts. I mean, Detroit Shipping Company was packed. There was a DNC fundraiser there on Wednesday night. You know, Garland Gilchrist was there. You know, a bunch of other folks were there. I'm glad Detroit got at least a little media attention.
I mean, the Fox looked gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, it really is.
So the funny thing is, did you notice they never called it
the Fox Theater? No, it was the CNN Debate Center
or something. They never called it the Fox Theater.
What was it, the Detroit Debate Center? What was it?
Yes. Yeah. Or Debate Hall, I believe it was.
Stupid.
Yeah, because, they didn't want to say the word Fox on CNN.
Detroit got together and built it just for you, CNN, because you're so awesome.
That's totally where it was.
And you know what wasn't on the news or barely covered or the local media didn't even look at? Our beloved little billion-dollar baby, StockX.
Yeah. Oops, got hacked.
You done got. Basically what happened is they pushed out a password reset email to all of its users citing system updates. And nobody knew what to do.
So, and for what it's worth, I'll just throw this out here. The show that was in the studio just before us, the Sneakerbox guys, Caesar, is like really tight with a lot of those guys.
Right.
And apparently they had a very in-depth discussion about everything that happened and all that fun stuff. So go give their episode this week a listen if you're interested in more.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying because like I guess 6.8 million records were stolen from the site in May by a hacker. And they kind of kept it quiet. And then they sent this email out basically saying, uh-oh, cover your ass. So it was such a shitty email apparently that people thought it was a phishing email that came that originated from StockX.
Well, and because apparently it was I can't remember if it was an employee or a former employee now that was like, okay, look, we have to let people know about this or I'm going public.
Right.
And that's the only reason why they went public with it.
Well, it's GDPR rules right now that basically said you can be fined up to 4% of its global annual revenue for these violations.
Right.
But you know what? You and Randy can too, I guess. We probably can all afford it if we don't miss a cable payment this month. But we can buy all that data for the low, low price of $300.
Yes. Amazing.
On the dark web.
I could have used my Equifax settlement check for that, but apparently they're not actually giving out $125.
Look at Randy
anymore.
With the good segue.
So, that's exactly where I was going to go with this. So we talked about this last week that, you know, it's your moral obligation to go claim your $125 from Equifax for their breach.
No.
However, the problem being they didn't actually set aside enough money to cover all 147 million people that were breached. And so the more people that claim it, the less likely it is you're going to get $125.
No. You're going to get a check for like 37 cents. Not even enough to buy a postage stamp. The $700 million in fines, they set aside 4.4% of it for these claims.
Someone should slap someone. Like I truly think like when it comes to stuff like this, make it a pay-per-view event and just have like the CEO, CTO, CISO and whoever, just line them up and get just pimp slapped.
Pied. Pied's funnier.
No, pimp slap. A good slap, I think, will raise more money.
Finger slap or like the palm? Because you can knock someone out.
No, like the open palm, like the old, you know, raising money for the military events.
Whipped cream pie's way funnier.
A good slap across the face, and then you use the money from the pay per view to help pay off the settlements and life skills.
No, slap. Okay, fine. If you don't like pies, slap in the face, and then a guy behind him pulls his pants down. There.
Wedgie.
Right. Or
well, because, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. You know, exposing me, but like a good
suitcase,
good
suitcase
high school wedgie. No,
yes. Suitcase wedgie.
Yes.
I'm fine with either one. Let's do a pie and a pant, de-pantsing, and then a suitcase wedgie.
I was going to say, speaking of awkward situations, how fast are you running out to try the Oscar Mayer hot dog sandwich, Bob, or ice cream sandwich, Bob?
That looks amazing.
I'm not going to lie. My first thought was, did you watch Iron Chef back in the day? Like when it was just in Japan. Yeah. And like, I don't care.
The old days, no, but.
Oh, no, like the old, like not Iron Chef America, the old Iron Chef that was back in Japan. I don't give a shit what the ingredient was that week, whether it was like fish liver or like, you know, bacon or whatever. Someone was always firing up the ice cream machine and making ice cream with that ingredient. That's the first thing I thought when I saw the story. And I'm like, this, I kind of want to try one just so we can talk about it. But I really don't want to try one.
So this is a ice cream sandwich, Oscar Mayer. I thought it was a joke, but apparently it's not. Candied hot dog bits, hot dog sweet cream, spicy Dijon gelato, and a cookie bun. And I want it. I don't care what I have to do to get it. I'm going to make it mine.
I'm just – like, dude, I understand the whole, like, sweet and savory thing. I get it. But, like, just – no.
Apparently, you have to go to New York and find
they're selling the Wienermobile.
Yeah. In the Wienermobile the week of August 12th to try one.
No.
You know what? I'm all in.
Okay.
So I've tried like bacon ice cream and stuff. And that's
someone was telling me about like some peanut butter bacon shake at Sonic. Oh, it's the whip. And they're like, ew. And I go, ew, what is it? Ew.
Yeah, sweet and salty.
Yeah, like the bacon clogs the straw. I'm like, well, then get a bubble spoon. Tea straw or a spoon. Whatever.
It's a frosty. Yeah. Just yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The bacon is good.
Yeah,
hot dog bits. Yeah, good. I like it.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
Hey, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna be back with Tim Barron from Schoolcraft College. This is the IT and the D Show.
We'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 309. This is the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob, the sales guy. Dave the Geek, Randy, the Vice President of Social Media and Community Outreach. There, I did it in one take that time. Find us on – he's doing the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com. You want to know why, buddy? Because we are IT in the D.
And you know. Are still not.
I love telling that story.
I still do. But hey, every minute you spend updating your company's employee data and systems is a minute that you don't spend on your core job. Thankfully, now there's Rippling. It's the first platform that combines all your HR and IT systems together. And when you combine HR and IT, magic happens. Well, I mean, sometimes we don't let HR people into IT, but that's a whole different story. Imagine if you would, if you could hire someone and take care of all their HR needs, including payroll, health insurance, and 401k, all in as little as 90 seconds. Same goes for your IT. You can order their computer, create their accounts, and all the apps you use like Gmail, GitHub, and Slack, all in one unified onboarding flow. That's how easy Rippling makes running your business. It's also why Rippling won PC Mag's Editor's Choice Award and is the top-rated HR and IT software on G2 Crowd. Stop burning valuable time on admin work. Use Rippling, and your HR and IT will run like a well-oiled machine. Bob, I don't know if you watched that video that I shot you, like their walkthrough of basically onboarding an employee. It literally took them 60 seconds. Like, this is the laptop we want. They're developer. They get this laptop. They're salary, non-salary. They are 401k eligible or not. They're a match or not. They are this or not. Here's how much money.
It was like me building my first virtual machine in Azure this week.
So proud of you for making that happen. So yeah, honestly, it looks so incredibly simple and streamlined to use. Check them out. If you're looking for an easier way to supercharge your employees, go to Rippling. That's RIPPLING.com/ITinTheD and get 20% off. That's Rippling.com/ITinTheD. 20% off. Give it a shot.
Yeah, it looks, it could not be simpler.
I know, I love it.
Easy. So hey, we are joined by Tim Barron from he's an instructor at Schoolcraft College. Thank you for not getting up and leaving during the first segment. We appreciate having you here. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we just recently got introduced to Schoolcraft, and you know, one of the big things we talked about last week.
All right, well, let's be honest. We all know Schoolcraft.
Well, I grew up with them.
That's where I took my motorcycle rider safety course.
Sure.
No, we all grew up with them, but but we got introduced to kind of the more technically what they're doing. And last week we had a huge conversation on the talent gap. So I figured it'd be a great idea to have kind of people trying to fill that need to talk about, you know, A, you know, what are you doing over at Schoolcraft, and B, how can we fill the talent gap in the IT world?
Sure. So for those of you who don't know, Schoolcraft is a two-year school. We service Livonia, Garden City, Northville, and Plymouth. So we're kind of uniquely positioned as a two-year school. We don't get students for a long time, so we have a lot to, you know, present to them and attempt to get them ready. So
are you the first school or the finishing school? Like, is someone going to community first and then going to you?
Two and four.
So we are both, depending on what your goals are. So we have students who just want a degree, get into the field. And we have students who also transfer out and go to a four-year school, university.
Got it.
For a bachelor's degree. So we're kind of uniquely positioned that we need to serve two different types of students. So our IT programs exist in what we call occupational programs. And that kind of – they are for credit. But – you know, they're not necessarily designed to be transfer degrees, although we can do that option. So we are mostly...
When you talk about occupational, what do you mean by that?
Job-ready programs.
Okay. So not on the job,
trade
right?
School.
Similar
kind
to
of a
that,
vibe.
Yes.
Yeah.
We exist in the same area as welding, accounting, business.
Well, which makes sense. I mean, that's, you know, we've talked about this over and over and over again. Like, the companies that we know that are being truly successful are growing their own talent through their own apprentice programs and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And so like this seems like this is a natural segue / feeder into that.
Yes. And our department also deals with grants in apprenticeship specifically as well. And we're exploring ways we can do that through IT.
So, I mean, this isn't on the job. Like, Randy's working at Blue Cross right now. You can't, like, apply that for credit. I mean, you physically still have to go to class.
You still have to go to class. Depending on industry certifications and some on-the-job things, you can get what's called a prior learning credit.
Okay.
For certain on-the-job skills. But for the most part, you still have to meet certain requirements to get your credits and graduate.
So, you're getting a degree – and you can run certs at the same time? Are you guys fulfilling like CompTIA certifications and whatnot?
So we recently realigned all of our programs to beef them up a bit. Anything from Cisco to CompTIA to Microsoft, we align to the certifications. I would not consider ourselves a certification house. With the exception of the Cisco programs, we are an official Cisco Academy.
Okay.
And we run those classes for the purpose of getting people certified in Cisco and get them on the job. And we've been successful in doing that since we've launched the program.
So, I mean, with IT, you know, the joke is if you don't like your job, just wait 6 months, it'll change, right? And the inevitable change.
If you're lucky, it's 6 months.
Right. Well, I mean, that was the hardest part of, even though when we were going to college, like what you learn, by the time you get out, it's gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how, you know, what are you guys doing to stay kind of current and on tap with what's being required out there?
So that there's a lot of truth to that statement, as you guys well know. One thing doesn't change, though, and that's fundamentals.
Yep.
So we tend to – that's why we align to certs. We're not a cert house. We use the certs in what employers want to see and what the industry wants to put into the certifications to teach fundamentals that align to those. And basically, we try to prepare people for the next step, get into the industry where they can then specialize and, you know, with the fundamentals that they have, and then they can specialize further and move up in their career.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, we've said it a million times, like once you learn one object-oriented programming language, picking up another is that much easier. Like it's, you know, once you understand the basics of networking, okay, now I get how this communication protocol works. Now let's talk about firewalls and talking about how we stop them from communicating, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And it's another thing, like once you know and understand the fundamentals of networking, you know now why cloud everything is possible and all the dangers that come along with it. So, you know, with the time that we get students mixed with all of their, you know, general education requirements and things, we have a limited amount of time to get them prepared to understand the language, to understand the culture, to understand the fundamentals, so that they can go and prove to an employer, hey, give me a shot.
So I guess that's a good question. So if I'm coming to Schoolcraft for a CIS program,
sure.
I still have to deal with the general ed stuff?
So there are degree programs, and basically we also offer certificate programs.
Okay.
And
you got to speak English, or you got to write English, Dave. It's not, you know.
And that's...
No, you don't. Not general. If you're a developer.
Well, good point. Never mind. Carry on.
Well, one of the biggest pieces of feedback we get from our, you know, advisory board and the employers in the area is that absolutely they must see interpersonal skills and communication skills from anybody entering IT. That's the biggest piece of feedback we get from the industry.
You look at
and that's why so many jobs are unfilled right now.
they absolutely tell us that.
I don't. It is. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, dude, I won't call him out by name, but like one of the brightest people we know has a master's in data science.
Two.
And, like, he's just a genius, but he's on the spectrum, and he's not the best when it comes to the interpersonal stuff. And I've always said, like, but you need them. Like, you need people that you just lock in a room and let them go do. And then you've got people like me or Bob or Randy. Like, you put them in front of clients and let them talk, and you let them talk to the business. Not, yeah.
But you also have people, right? Companies right now that are not hiring the best and brightest. They're hiring for cultural fits. So I can, you know.
But I've always done that. Dude, right. We've had this conversation a bazillion times.
Yeah, but a lot never did.
We're like, no, my whole thing was, if I'm building a team, I'm building a fish tank. And all it takes is one overly aggressive fish or one fish with a disease to walk in and wipe out an entire tank. Dude, I can teach you skills. I need to know you're going to be a cultural fit and you're going to fit in with the team that I'm trying to build. And then we can go from there.
No, but that's why I like what he's going to say. That they're teaching them the life skills also, because, yeah, it's a huge component of this.
Absolutely. That, like I said, that's the biggest piece of feedback we get. So, you know, if you just want technical skills, you can come through our certificate programs, which are basically just the CIS classes with no additional English classes or history classes or things like that. That's a good way to get some skills fast. But to be honest, a lot of employers see limited value in a certificate. They want to see someone who's well-rounded. And, you know, they've done it before. And, you know, the general education requirements are there for a reason in the educational world.
There's a lot of employees right now that need people so bad that they'll take just a certificate. Then they'll mold them into their corporate culture. That we see it time and time again. We'll get into that with Grant Circus, but you're seeing that right now. Like, they'll take on a junior developer or someone that just started, and they'll get them acclimated into their culture, and they'll basically, you know, build them into, you know, lean, mean, fighting machine.
Right? Thanks, exactly. Thanks.
Anytime. Anytime. So, I mean, if you want to do it, you can, right? I guess there's no – I guess walk me through the different – so you got – you can just go in through get a cert. You can actually get a rabbit two-year degree. Sure. What other options are you throwing at people?
So, you know, theoretically you can walk out with two or three certificates from Schoolcraft College – your CCNA certification, your Security Plus certification, your Linux Plus certification, your CompTIA Cloud Plus certification, all out the door in 2 years if you follow the programs. So, I mean, that's a pretty good combination of, you know, earning college credit and industry certifications and having a good step off into your career.
Sure. So, and is that like an 8 hours a day that's what I'm doing? Kind of thing?
It's set up like a traditional college schedule.
Okay.
Where you can have 7 week semesters or 15 week semesters, anywhere from 12 credits to 17 credits a semester. Or you can, you know, work and take one class a week in the evening and take as long as you need. We have all sorts of students.
Okay. Because that's always the question we get asked about stuff like
and
this.
Schoolcraft's what you call an open door college. We accept, you know, pretty much all comers. And that's the role that we play in the community. So,
can you spell your name? You're in.
Kind of, but we have some.
No, but that's all right. I went to Macomb. I get it.
We have some very talented people. Anything from, you know, kids in junior high who are really advanced.
Wait, what? Say that again.
Kids in
junior high. I heard you.
Oh yeah.
Like doing what?
Taking college classes, programming.
Good God.
They're good. They're good at it too. I mean, it's really impressive.
Like, see, that's like, dude, I was doing that in high school, but God, junior high, really? Yeah,
well, absolutely.
My daughter was a freshman last year, and I made her take programming. You're gonna take just to see if she like if she likes it, great. If she doesn't like it, move on. She ended up. She was like, I don't get Python. And by the end of the class, she got an A. Right. You know what I mean? It's going to come a time and a point where it's going to click and it'll going to make sense. Yep. And then sure, you know, it clicks and she gets just a solid A. I'm like, and she got a cert.
And it's not one of the things that I do for the college, but one of the cool things I get to see in the summer is we have a kids on campus program and they bring in kids anywhere from 6 years old up to, you know, high school. And I see 8-9 year old kids programming and building robots.
Right.
Creating video games. All within the span of a week, and you know, they latch onto it. And when they get it that young, it just kind of clicks for a lot of them.
Well, they all think coding is not a code. You can make video games. Yeah. Like, oh no, so this I want to code.
Dude, how many times have we heard over the course of our lives? Like, because it was always, hey, if you want to learn a language, the best time to learn it is before you're like 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This is just another language. That's all it is.
Well, that was the what was the Google program I had my kids
code.org?
Is it code.google?
Or Hour of Code?
It was like code.google.org or something, or I forget.
Yeah, the whole Hour of Code thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it was like the game. It was all gamification, learning how to code.
And I've got Sam doing it.
Sure, sure. It's good stuff. So Schoolcraft, what is it? Livonia, Northville.
Livonia, Northville, Plymouth, and Garden City.
Okay.
You have to live in one of those cities to go there?
Or you have to drive there.
What's interesting is, you know, there's community college districts. You know, there's Henry Ford and Oakland Community College and Macomb. I would actually say probably anywhere from 30% to 50% of our students are out of district.
Okay.
And they come to Schoolcraft.
School of choice works, Bob.
I know. I'm the one that always yells it does.
And I don't know if there's, you know, a particular reason. I would like to think this because we do good work.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people work out that way. They come to school after work.
Right.
And it beats driving all the way, you know, to where
trying to get back across town for a class.
We're in a very good location right off of 96 and 275. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, a lot of traffic in that area. And I'm sure that contributes.
Isn't the Highland Games this weekend at Schoolcraft? Or is it across the street from you?
It's at the historical park that's there.
So yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Been there once or twice.
Yeah. It's right close to where we're at too.
Awesome. So more information. I think I know this. Schoolcraft.edu/CIS.
Just schoolcraft.edu and go to academic programs.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, perfect.
No, but they want us to send people to schoolcraft.edu/CIS.
Sure. Absolutely. That's it.
Yep. Say it together now. No, just kidding. Seriously, Tim, thank you for the time. Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Peter from Grand Circus talking about coding boot camps. This is the IT and the D show.
See you in a few.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us. Segment 3, episode 309. This is the IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One, Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek. Randy, the Vice President of Social Media and Corporate Communications. Find us online.
No, it's Corporate Communications.
What did I say before?
I thought it was
Community Outreach. Oh, yes. Whatever. he gets all of them. Just comma, Community Outreach, comma.
Slash.
Right. Yeah. Find us online, itinthed.com.
We.
No kidding. So, hey, we are joined. Like I said, thought this would be a perfect tie-in with Schoolcraft, with our topic last week. With the talent gap, we have none other than Peter in the house from Grand Circus. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you for putting up with our hijinks and madness and our side conversations during the break. You're a good man.
I'm scarred for life.
A gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah. But hey, we have a long-standing relationship with Grand Circus, dating back to Damien and with Brad, who's way back in the day.
Yep.
We're big fans of what you guys are doing. We kind of wanted a refresher and an update. Obviously, with my employer, we bring in a lot of your graduates, but we wanted to kind of find out,
and a lot of their graduates come to our events.
Right. But we wanted to find out, like, hey, what, you know, are you seeing any shifts in the market and what's the big push going on with Grand Circus today?
Great. Well, thanks for having me back. I was on maybe about a year and a half ago, and you've had,
yeah.
I know, Damien and maybe Jen in the past. So really appreciate that. Grand Circus is a coding boot camp. We offer 12-week intensive courses. Those are full-time 12 weeks, or we have some evening.
When we say intensive courses, this is 8-hour day courses. Like you're entrenched.
9 to 5.
Yep.
It's, you know, learning this stuff is your job for 12 weeks.
Yep.
And we also have after hours options 3 nights a week for a more extended period of time, 26 weeks. So right now we cover 3 main development areas. So you're choosing a boot camp in either front end technologies, or which is JavaScript, HTML, CSS, or you're doing C# .NET development for back end, or you're doing Java back end development. So those are the 3 tracks. Each of those is one of these 12-week boot camps.
Is there a – right now on the need front, is there a necessity for one versus the other? Because that's the biggest joke in the market right now. Like, what do you need? .NET and Java, right? And we keep thinking that joke's going to get old, and it's still true. But what? Well, I guess, what are you guys saying?
No, it no, never.
I'm hoping that one day, like, oh yeah, that's stupid, that's old, but it's still true. I mean, so what do you? I mean, what's Grand Circus saying?
It's still true. You know, we've got a new outcomes report coming out soon, but you know, the trend we've seen last several years is about 90% of our students getting a tech job within a few months of graduating from boot camp, and these are. You know, a variety of students. A number of our students are coming in without any college education. Some are coming in with college or with even graduate degrees. But you know, regardless of that, they're new to tech, they're new to development, and they're getting these jobs. You know, across the curriculum, C#, Java, front end. You know, there's needs for all 3 of those out there.
So, are you introducing them to agile methodology, or is this something that, like, are you waiting until they get out in the real world before they learn? Because each company's got their own different methodologies on culture regarding development. Are you waiting for that? Or I guess, no. How are you guys looking at it?
No, we definitely teach Agile. We have a Scrum-like process that we use for both midterm projects and for final projects. So not only do we teach basic Agile methodology, but we also put them into it with the whole, you know, daily stand-up, MVP, working you know, through that with a lot of those things, a little bit of Kanban in there, but mostly a Scrum-like.
Got it.
Agile. And that's just part of, you were talking about soft skills in the last segment. That's also part of the training. So it's not just the tech, how do you code? It's also how do you work on a team? How do you get a job in tech? How do you present yourself in an interview? How do you go to networking events? All those kinds of things are also part of the boot camp curriculum along with the Agile.
No, it's beautiful. Like I said, like I'm, you know, we were talking, I'm in an open floor environment where my day job is. And I would think for coders, they want to be kind of locked away in a closet and don't talk to me, don't look at me, don't speak to me. And yet this open collaborative world is kind of, I don't know, we've been reading everything about Google saying it's bad or people saying it's bad, but I'm seeing a kind of a wonderful thing where everybody's talking and sharing and collaborating, and you know, the Kanban boards or Kanban, sorry if I mispronounced it, or the boards are everywhere where everybody's kind of, you know, talking them through. I kind of see that it's kind of amazing, but I guess what's your take on that? Are people still in closed environments, or they're adopting an open world floor? I guess, what's your take?
We see both. Certainly the open environments, I'd say, are more common now. And, you know, we do send a lot of students your way and to a few of the other large employers that do have these open environments. Some students are going to places where they're the only dev, or there's, you know, 2 or 3 devs and they're pretty much working independently. But I would say that's more of the exception.
Now, are employers – this is something I've always wanted. I don't think I've ever asked you guys. Are employers hesitant, like saying, hey, this person's come out of 12-week, you know, are they trusting that your process is going to get them to be able to be, I guess, employment ready, like the day they hit the floor? Or are they still thinking, hey, they're still going to go through 6 months of mentorship and training when they get internal?
It varies. Of course, you know, somebody who's graduating from a boot camp is – going to be a junior developer.
Right.
They're going to need mentorship. They're going to need a process where they grow in their, you know, throughout their career, but especially they've got a little more guidance early on. But, you know, what we see is that employers, especially employers who have taken the time to get to know us, get, you know, they hire one of our students, they come back for more. What they appreciate is that these individuals have shown that they can master some technical content very quickly in a, you know, moderately high stress environment. You know, they've got a limited number of weeks. They've got only a couple of weeks, a little more than 2 weeks to do their final project. Like there's some pressure there and they're learning new things. They're applying things on the fly and employers are taking that and saying, you know, this is somebody who can come on board and maybe not even work in the same technology that they learned. You know, many students do go on in the technology they learn, but also others go on and they go into, you know, Ruby and Python and PHP and technologies we don't teach because, again, they have shown that they can pick up this material and they can master it themselves.
So I was that's totally what I was going to ask you. And you kind of steered into that. Like, what, you know, 3 weeks in, your Java going, God, you know what? Kind of don't like this. Really wish I was more, you know, front end is kind of the cool stuff in my eyes. You know, how do you steer them to the right path originally? And then what happens if halfway through they're like, you know what, I really wish I would have went this way? I guess, you know, walk.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do have a whole funnel process to kind of guide students in. So we offer a free 3-hour intro to code. We do it weekly. We do it, you know, we're doing libraries across Oakland County and other locations. And so that's kind of the first taste of code
actually,
for a lot of people.
I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah, yes. No, I didn't either.
Yeah, Oakland County is fairly new. And I think, I don't want to say on the air, but I think we're moving into another county for these, every library in the county system.
Very cool.
This past weekend, you did an event at Affirmations in Ferndale.
Yes. Yeah, we were just in Ferndale at Affirmations as well. So that's for many people, that's like, you know, I've heard about coding. I want to do it. Let me get a taste of it. And so that's the intro. From there, we have a fundamentals course and, you know, we're working on improving, you know, the fundamentals course has a great tech content. We're working on adding just what you're talking about, which is more of that. Do I want to do what is front end or back end? Do I want to do which do I want to do? Do I want to make, you know, the cool looking stuff or do I want to do the stuff behind the scenes that really makes things work? Those are the kinds of questions we want to answer and want to guide people.
Well, you have a lot of different personality types, right? You have analyticals, you have drivers, you have amiables, you have, you know, high eyes like me that, you know what I mean? Some people like be creative. Some people just mm-hmm. want to do ones and zeros, right?
Absolutely.
It's
yeah.
figuring that out. What's going to be the happy place. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you know.
And, you know, developer is not the only place that graduates go. Some people realize, you know, no, you know, I want to be, you know, open floor environment. You know, I even want more, you know, social and interpersonal, you know, maybe being a business analyst is a better path. You know, it's still a technical path that code that they've picked up stands them in good stead.
Sure.
Because they understand what's going on, but they're choosing, you know, a different path. Same thing. Some people go into project management. Some people really get into the agile stuff. And this, you know, coding boot camp is their entree into the whole tech ecosystem. But then they're pursuing some of these other interests. They're becoming a scrum master or they're doing something else.
Sure. I mean, if you would have thought, did I even hear like being a scrum master 2 years ago? Was that even a thing? Like I barely heard of it. Now it's like I hear it every day. Well, no,
it's your shift and exposure to what you're dealing with day to day now.
Right, but even before I dealt with it, I kept hearing it like, hey, when we were talking to recruiters, what do you need? Scrum master. Yeah. I'm like, and I wouldn't even bother to ask, what did they do? I was like,
they're the ones that roll the dice and move the little figures around the board. Oh, wait, no, that's the
No, but like I said, I don't think I've even heard it spoken of 2 years ago, and now it's kind of a very common thing.
It's kind of fun to say.
It
That's
is.
What people are saying more. It often. Is. Scrum master, you know?
I play rugby. No.
Yeah,
well, that's European. Technically you are. No, that's the thing. Like, I started hearing Scrum Master. I stopped hearing PMP, project management.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, you know, bathroom toilet paper became bathroom tissue.
You're
is that
a sanitation
what it was?
Engineer.
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, hey, Grant, you guys are downtown. Is there any place else you guys are doing classes, or are you still primarily downtown?
So we have a downtown campus where we offer all three of the curriculums.
Yep.
We also have a Grand Rapids campus, which has a different schedule. Currently, there's an evening after hours C-sharp boot camp going on. We've got a front-end boot camp starting also after hours. It's that three-night-a-week curriculum starting up in the fall. So it's a campus that offers a couple of classes at a time in Grand Rapids.
Okay, nice, nice. Yeah. Now your instructor, I guess something, a couple things I missed. Your instructors now, are they former developers, or are they? I guess talk me through, like, you know, like saying, hey, I would really just want to teach now at this point in my career. I guess what's the profile of a lot of the instructors that are leading these courses?
Yeah, I mean, certainly one of the things we look for in the instructor is they do love to teach. And so, you know, many of them, you know, still want to strike a balance. They're doing some freelance on the side. They're doing, you know, their own personal coding projects, but they are there because they want to teach. They want to work with students. They want to introduce them to the world of code. They want to share their experiences. So that's the, you know, they've got to have the tech skills, but then they also have, you know, the teaching skills as well.
Sure.
Just saying, we've known them for how long, and not once have they asked us to come down and do the 10 commandments of networking for the students.
I don't think that fits. Oh, yeah, maybe it would. I brought it up. I told Damien a long time ago that I would teach sales there, because even though, like, I don't believe that, you know, like, they're not going to have a sales course, but yeah. I think everybody's in sales. It was kind of like that type of thing. No matter, even if you're in corporate or not, like,
you almost need like a one. That's what I say. You almost need like one day of that, one day of networking, one day of
Indeed.
Yeah.
What the hell was I going to ask you that David slowly threw me off?
I don't know. We should probably mention Damien. You keep mentioning is the CEO of the circus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So people are scratching their heads like, Damien, who's this guy?
Everyone knows Damien.
Put the dogs down, Damien.
No. Everyone knows Damien. He's the guy with the cool accent. That's how everybody knows them.
Yeah.
But hey, grandcircus.co.
Grandcircus.co. No M.
And then, I just wanted to make a comment. One of the cool things I like about what you guys do is that when you lump together your classes, I always felt like there's this, like, every time I went to new hire training at like HP or Cisco, there's this weird camaraderie that exists that doesn't exist with coworkers after the fact. But we feel like these peer groups are established that, like, I have friendships from HP from like 07, 08, from my new hire training that I still keep up with this day. That, not the ones that work together with me, but the ones that we were a new hire with. There's this weird, I always feel the same thing with Grand Circus, as you guys kind of, I don't know if it's done inherently or that it's forced upon them, but there's always this camaraderie between the classmates.
Yeah, part of it is simply you're in class for many weeks with these other people. So you're going to get to know them well. We do a variety of activities to, you know, to help that, to make it fun and not just classroom time.
Sure.
So yeah, there are people who stay connected years later, are still talking mostly, you know, to the people who went through their cohort. You know, but that also, you know, points out the alumni network and the importance of that there are events for our alumni. And, you know, once you graduate Grand Circus, you know, you can still come back, talk to us. You know, we continue to share, you know, employment opportunities and so forth. So there is that long-term connection to both your classmates and to the institution to Grand Circus.
Oh, it's a thing. I mean, I think I mentioned, you know, we've had folks from Texas, Boston, and a couple other places reach out about building out podcast networks and that kind of stuff, what they're trying to do. The guy from Boston that reached out, we were just chit-chatting back and forth on Messenger, figured out we were in the same graduating class at Boston U and had like three classes together. And I'm like, all right, cool. There. And yeah, all right. I'll pay more attention to you. Cool.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm on week four of my new gig, and a new hire was 75 people.
Wow.
And like going to the lunchroom is like, I feel like Rodney Dangerfield in like the dinner scene in Caddyshack. Like, you know, hey, how you doing? Hey, good to see you. You know, like I know. It's crazy, but even
that's,
though
that's you when you know no one.
But it helps when
I know. Let's be honest.
But it helps when I know people. No, like, you know, it's all good though. So yeah, grandcircus.co. When are do classes run all the time? When if I want to start today, when can I start?
Yeah. So we're on a quarterly schedule. We just started boot camps about 3 weeks ago. So those are going to run through.
Fiscal quarter? Like that's how you run?
More or less. So the last quarter of the year, boot camps are going to start in the last part of October. Admissions are open now. So students can go through the application process. They can get started on their unit one of content and, get into the first couple weeks of the curriculum and then come for the remainder of the boot camp when that starts up at the end of October.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. We've been in and around you guys for years and years, and we can attest to the success that you guys have had, and hats off to continuing to, grow the talent base here in Detroit. We appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thanks.
So, hey, we're going to wrap things up. Episode 309 of the IT and the D Show. We'd like to thank Tim from Schoolcraft College, Peter from Grand Circus. Appreciate the content. It was awesome. Like to thank PlanetM.com and Rippling. Thank you for sponsoring the show and keeping the lights on. On behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy, our Vice President of Social Media and Community Outreach.
Corporate Communications.
Keep your phone numbers, drink up your drinks. Oh, drink it. I just forgot everything.
You just messed up your
Randy messed me up.
Shocking.
Drink up your drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't gotta go home. You just gotta get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See you guys.
You did Randy things. That's what you did.
Don't ever say that again.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies? See them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name? Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.